This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Family Greenberg, Liskus, Morena Harav, Pinchas Ben Miriam, Devorah Shlita, Yehirot Song, Yizachel, Lefur, Shlema, Bekorah, Pesach, Shara, Chol, Yisrael.
Amen.
Yud Tes Tammuz, Monday the 9th of July, Rabbi Rafi Simon, Yehoshua for Chief Rabbi, Lessons in Leadership.
Good morning, and thank you again for the invitation to speak here at the Torah Way, which I always enjoy. This is my first time in the renewed original location, and I'm quite taken by the expansion here. It's quite remarkable. Whether the improvement in the shiur will match the improvement in the facilities is doubtful, but anyway, we'll do our best. Just another word of introduction. Our subject is Yehoshua for Chief Rabbi, Lessons in Leadership, and I would like to present this year in tribute to my son-in-law, who was called Yehoshua Wexler, and in celebration of their first child, who was born a few hours ago, and first grandson for me as well. So it's a kind of a meaningful occasion. Our subject, as I said, of course, is taken from the Parsha. Yehoshua's name appears in the Torah in a number of places, and in a way, this is the most momentous in the sense that here he is designated to be the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all a very poignant passage because Moshe has already been told more than once that he's not going to bring the people into Eretz Yisrael. He's not going to be able to fulfill his life's mission. And no doubt it was a moment for Moshe of great poignancy and great, I suppose, even frustration. And nevertheless, he does not, so to speak, lose sleep over it, and he doesn't delay, and although he does on a number of occasions importune the Almighty to perhaps reconsider and to allow him to enter the land, if not as the leader, maybe as a follower at least, but immediately after Hashem tells him the news, we have in the parasha of Vayedaber, Moshe el Hashem Lemor. Now, for those who are attentive to the nuances of the language of the Torah, this turn of phrase actually is very unusual. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, that we've got all the time. Vayedaber Moshe el Hashem Lemor is a great rarity. And the Mefarshim said that Vayidaber is an expression, it's difficult to convey in English because we don't have the same nuances in the English language. But it's an expression of speech which is demanding, which has an instructive quality to it. The speaker is asking something or instructing the listener in a certain way. That's Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Vayidaber, from the word Dabar. Dabar is a leader. Dabar achad ladar, one leader for the generation. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe el Hashem Lemor suggests that Moshe is somehow taking matters into his own hands, and he is demanding of God that he should provide leadership for the Jewish people. Yifkod Hashem el Keruchos Chol Basar Ish al Ha'ida, that Hashem should designate someone to be a successor. Asher Yitzei Lifnehem, Asher Yavo Lifnehem, Asher Yotziem, Asher Yivieim. Someone who will go out before them, come in before them, who will take them out, who will bring them in. Rashi says immediately, not like you did for me. I took them out, but you did not give me the chance to bring them in. So, choose someone who will complete the task. So, right away, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kach lecha Yehoshua, I've got the man. Yehoshua bin Nun, Ish asher ruach bo. He is a man in whom there is spirit. V'samachtes yad chalav, and ordain him, place your hands upon him. Or place your hand, really, upon him. Moshe places both his hands upon him. But what I want to look at today is the qualifications of Yehoshua for the job. So, the qualities that the leader needs are hinted to already in the pasuk when Moshe says Yifkod Hashem Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar. This is an unusual expression, the God of spirits of all flesh, and Hashem seems to validate Moshe's request by saying, I've got just the man for you. Yehoshua ben Nun is Ish Asher Ruach Bo, a man who has spirit. So the Rashi already quotes the Medrash in explaining this expression, Elokei Haruchos, Lama Ne'emar. So Rashi says,
Amar lefana ribono shel olam galui lefanecha dato shekol echad ve'echad. You know that the personality of every individual is different. Ve'inan domin zeleze, they're not equal one to the other. Everyone has his own foibles. Everyone has his own point of view, his own opinions, or his own mishagasin, as we say in good English. Everybody is different. Manei aleihem manhig shehisovel kol echad ve'echad lefi dato. Find someone who is tolerant, who is understanding, who has the capacity to bear the foibles and the idiosyncrasies and the different opinions of every person. Choose someone who has that quality of being able to work with everyone, who is not so dogmatic and who is not so autocratic. Someone who has the ability of understanding different people and somehow meeting the needs and showing tolerance towards every individual. The Medrash, in the Medrash Tanchuma, on which it is based, says, "Kishem shein partzofeihem shavin zeleze, kach ein da'atam shavin zeleze." Just as their visage, their appearance, is different one to the other, similarly their opinions and their attitudes and their personalities are all different. Kol echad v'echad yesh lo das b'fifnei atzmo. So the Medrash goes on to say, "Kshanim istalek mehem bevakasha mimcha." Moshe says, "I'm leaving. You know, you're telling me it's the end of the road for me. Please, im bikashelim nos aleihem manhig. If you're planning to choose a successor for me, I've got a bit of advice for you, Hashem. Mane aleihem adam sheisove lekol echad vechad lefi dato. Someone who can cope with the foibles of every individual." So that's what Hashem asked for. So that's what Moshe asked for. So Hashem says, "I've got the man for you, Yehoshua." Now, where do we find that Yehoshua has this quality? Where do we find that Yehoshua has that knack for getting along with people and somehow being receptive to the attitudes and opinions of every person? And moreover, the other question we have to consider is, does leadership really warrant or require that quality? Isn't that quality not dangerous for a leader? You know, it's like the story of the rabbi who's sitting in his study, and two people come in for a din Torah, and one of them says, "You know, this is what has happened, and this is my claim, and this is my position, and you can see that I'm right." And the rabbi says, "I think you're quite right. I agree." So the other fellow said, "Hey, wait a minute, he didn't give me a chance to talk yet. So let me tell you my point of view. Let me tell you what's happened. He's got it all wrong." And he tells his position, and he says, "And this is why he owes me the money." So the rabbi says, "You know what, I think you're right." So the Rebbetzin is listening from the kitchen, so she says to her husband, "You know, how can it be that this one is right and he's also right?" So the rabbi says, "You know what, you're also right." You can't be a leader that way. So, let's explore that. So we all know that the time when Yehoshua came to prominence is not the first time he's mentioned, but the time, his moment of glory, of course, was when he was dispatched among the spies to reconnoiter the land of Canaan. And Yehoshua was among them, and there, famously, the Torah says, "Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea binun Yehoshua." That's where the Torah says that Moshe bestowed upon him the name Yehoshua. His original name was Hosea, but Moshe changed his name and called him Yehoshua. That's not exactly clear if he changed his name now, because really his name is Yehoshua already earlier. Yehoshua lo mashvitocha ohel. We have already Yehoshua, but the Rashbam says that it's just mentioned here, but it means that really Moshe changed his name when he first became his valet, his assistant, when he first became his talmid, so he changed his name to Yehoshua. Azayi shteitin Rashbam. But much better known is the opinion of Rashi that Moshe changed his name to Yehoshua. He added the yud to his name, and he said, "Ka Yoshia chameatzas maragli. You are going to be together with the other spies." And Moshe had a premonition they were up to no good. And he felt that Yehoshua, his prized Talmud, was susceptible to their influence. So many Mephoshim asked, why did Moshe pray for Yehoshua and he didn't pray for Kalev? After all, Yehoshua and Kalev together were the heroes of the occasion. And they both were faithful to the mission. They both stood up as a minority of two against the other 10, but why didn't Hashem pray for Kalev, or why didn't he need to pray for Kalev?
I'm sorry, why didn't Moshe pray for Kalev? Why did he only have to pray for Yehoshua? So a number of answers have been given to this, but I would like to suggest the following. That Yehoshua, as we see from here, from our parsha, was someone who by his nature got along with everybody. By his nature, he understood people, and he was a listening ear, and he was somehow compatible. By his nature, he wasn't a dogmatic, maybe intransigent personality. By his nature, he got along with everybody. And therefore, he was susceptible, and he was vulnerable to the influence of everybody. And Moshe realized that Yehoshua, for all of his greatness, or maybe part of his greatness was that he got along with people. Well, that's great. But if so, that meant that he was vulnerable. So therefore, Moshe had to pray for him that he specifically should not be influenced by that Seth Meraglim. He knew that Yehoshua in and of himself was righteous, and so was Kalev. But Yehoshua had that quality that he was potentially swayed by the opinion of others. And therefore, he had to daven for him. He said, Ka Yoshua Chameyatzas Meraglim. And it worked. But we find later on as well. In fact, we find that with Yehoshua, more so I think than with any other biblical personality, that he seems to need encouragement. He seems to need fortification. Vayetzav It says in Parshas Veschanan, Hashem told Moshe, "Vetzavas Yehoshua v'chazkehu v'amseihu, charge Yehoshua with his duty and make him firm and strong." And it says later on as well at the end of the Torah, "Vayitzavas Yehoshua bin Nun v'yomer chazak v'amatz ki ata." And it says in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua three times in the first parak, Chazak ve'ematz ki atatan chiles ha'am hazeh. Hashem told Yehoshua himself, Rak chazak ve'ematz. And it says again, Halotzi v'sicha, chazak ve'ematz. What is he, a breakfast cereal? Why does he need all the fortification? Why is he, and more than anybody else, he's got to be fortified, got to be strong and fortified. Ma'olech kan. And I would like to suggest that the answer is exactly what we're saying. That Yehoshua has the quality, like Hashem, like Moshe says, Yifkod Hashem l'kei aruchos l'chol basar. You know that, you Hashem know that every person is different. Manei aleihem manhig she'esovel kol echad v'echad. Choose a leader who will be able to understand each of them, and therefore they will understand him, they will appreciate him. After all, the problem with Moshe, if we can use that word, is that Moshe was too exalted. He was too lofty. Moshe was so high, he tried to elevate the people, and either they wouldn't or they couldn't follow him. They couldn't achieve his level. And this is why, ultimately, he was not able to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, because the gap between Moshe and the people was too great. Moshe says to Hashem, you know what? Choose someone who won't have that problem. Choose someone who is closer to them, who will understand them, who will understand each of them. And Yehoshua is that man. But for that same reason, Yehoshua is vulnerable. In order to be a leader, yes, you've got to understand your polity, your constituents. And they've got to understand you. You've got to appreciate them. And you've got to be tolerant of them. You've got to be able to somehow bear their foibles and their idiosyncrasies. And you've got to be able to show that you value them, each as individuals, for whatever they are. But at the same time, you've got to show leadership. You've got to be strong enough to be the one to lay down the law and to demonstrate that quality of leadership. Yehoshua had that balance. Yehoshua, on the one hand, by his nature, was understanding of people, but for that same reason, Moshe had to pray for him, Ka Yoshua Chameyatzas Meraglim. Moshe had to say to him, Chazak Ve'ematz. Hashem had to say to him, Chazak Ve'ematz. Don't allow your inclination to understand every person and be tolerant of every person overwhelm you, because otherwise you're not a leader. This idea is found in a very interesting passage in Ikfus de Meshicha, the short book, really a monograph, written by Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, Zechat Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, And he wrote about his time, a time of great turmoil. The years between World War I and World War II, it's all been overshadowed by the horrors of the Holocaust. But that was a time of tremendous turmoil, tremendous decline in the Olam HaTorah, in which socialism and communism and Haskalah generally was making terrible inroads into the yeshiva world and into the Olam HaTorah. Of course, it was all going downhill in terms of persecution, poverty, and upheaval. And all of those who went to the West, to England, and even much more so to America, their spiritual future was endangered. And Rabbi Chaim Wasserman wrote an extended essay called Iklus de Meshicha. And there, he says an interesting pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in a braisa, describes in language which is very opaque, very suggestive, but somehow poetic, and therefore cannot be taken at face value. The Gemara describes the Messianic era, the generation in which Mashiach will come. Tan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dor Sheben David Ba, is the Bavel, the generation of Mashiach will be a generation that's described in the following words. I'm not going to read all of it. Beis Va'ad Yeliznus, V'Hagalid Yechera, V'Galvan Yesham, V'Anshe Gvul Yesovu V'Meir Le'ir, V'Lo Yechunanu, V'Chachmas Hasofin Tisrach, V'Yirei Chet Yimasu, U'Pnei Hador K'Pnei HaKelev. I'm just going to explain that one phrase. P'Nei Hador K'Pnei HaKelev. The face of the generation is as the face of a dog. What is the meaning of that? All of the references require an explanation, but I want to explain only this one. P'nei hador k'p'nei hakelev. The face of the generation is as the face of a dog. So, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter as saying the following. P'nei hador means the leaders of the generation. What does it mean that the leaders of the generation will be like a dog, k'p'nei hakelev? So he says the nature of a dog who is out for a walk with his master, is that the master is walking in the park, he goes, let's say, to Hampstead Heath, or goes to Golders Hill Park, and it's a lovely sunny day, we should live to see such a day, and he goes with a dog, and the dog is romping ahead and having a great time. But how do you know who is walking whom? Because when they get to a crossroads, the dog may be running ahead, but he looks behind to see which way the master is turning. So whichever way the master goes, that's where the dog goes as well. Even though the dog is ahead, but the dog turns around to see which way the master is going. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, P'nei hador k'p'nei hakelev means the leaders of the generation are not actually leading. They're turning around to see which way the people want them to go. They're only responding to the opinion polls. They're only reflecting the vox populi, as we say, the demands of the people. They're not actually demonstrating genuine leadership in the religious sense or any other sense. That's the generation of P'nei Hador K'P'nei HaKelev. And Rav Elchanan was saying, I mean, Rav Yisrael Salanter from already two generations earlier, that a generation in which the leaders are not actually leading, but they're really following. They're really only appearing to lead, but in actuality, at every crossroads, they turn around to see, what should I do now? You know, and therefore, this is a generation of upheaval, of turmoil. Dorshe ben David Bai, it doesn't mean it's a very fine and accomplished generation. On the contrary, it means the turmoil and the upheaval, the chaos is such that the Mashiach is the only salvation, which, you know, we may be in such a situation today as well. But just to conclude my slightly whimsical title here, Yehoshua for chief rabbi, Yehoshua did have that balance. He had that ability to appreciate people, that natural sort of impulse to understand people, Yesod kol echad ve'echad, to tolerate people, but at the same time, he did have that quality of leadership. He did have that ability. He was chazak ve'ematz. He was v'chazkeyu ve'amtzeyu. He did achieve through the blessing or through his own natural ability to recognize the demands of leadership, the expectations of leadership, and ultimately the accomplishments of leadership. And therefore, it was Yehoshua who brought them into Eretz Yisrael, and he was the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu. So I hope we've given a small insight into some qualities of leadership and why Yehoshua was indeed the right man for the task.